the book of John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One to go. And he must needs go through Samaria. And he must needs go through Samaria. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day. Your blessing in our lives. We thank you for all the resources of heaven that you have made available for us to live a life that is worthy of your praise and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you because that which you're about to reveal to us will change our lives, correct our goals, heal our wounds, and make us whole. Because wherever you send forth your word, it never returns to you void. So thank you for what your word will do in our lives. We ask that you take all the glory even in advance. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. I titled today's message, Keep On Moving Forward. Please let me tell your neighbor to the left and to the right, keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Hallelujah. You know, when a woman is pregnant, there are signs that the woman is looking for to be sure that the child that she's carrying, the baby that she's carrying in her womb, is alive. Amen. When it gets to a particular time, the woman is expecting some form of movement from the baby. Hallelujah. And when the baby moves, sometimes we refer to it as the first kick. When the baby kicks, and sometimes you can see the baby trying to stretch on the inside of the mother. Now, this is so significant because when this scenario does not take place, something happens. Hallelujah. I said, when this scenario doesn't take place, something happens. What happens? The woman begins to be concerned. Probably will go to the doctor and say, Doctor, the baby is not moving. Why does that happen? Why is it important? And why am I sharing this with you today? It is because movement is an integral part of life. Movement is an integral part of life. Hallelujah. It is important that you and I experience movement. Many of us, of course, since we've been born, we've experienced some form of movement in every area of our lives. I remember when my parents told me the story and told me, oh, I was born in Agege in Lagos State, but at age 2, I was in Warri. Hello. At age 4, I was in Ibadan. Because in those days, there were a lot of movement, particularly for parents then who work as civil servants. There's one they used to call transfer. People used to go on transfer. They are moving from one place to another.
So whether we like it or not, life incorporates movement. Also, progress incorporates movement. There is no progress without movement. There is no progress without movement. So it is important for us to move. In the scripture we read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses was refreshing the minds of the Israelites of what God commanded and instructed them. He said, God said to us, you have circled around this mountain for too long. In other words, you have remained on the same spot longer than it is expected for you. Now, why did God tell them that? Because we know that God does not speak idle words. We know that when God says some things, there is a purpose behind it. So, in other words, God himself knows that if his people are going to arrive at the destination that he had pre-decreed for them, there will be need for them to keep moving. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, keep moving. It's important. Now, let me mention something also about movement. Because a lot of people move in every area. Physically, you move. Spiritually, people move. But I've discovered that when you are moving, it is important that the movement is a positive movement. Praise the Lord. Because it is possible for you to be moving, but to lack direction. Many people are moving, but they really have not come to a realization of their destination. But they are moving anyway. So not all movement is positive. The movement that is positive is the one that is advantageous to you. The one that has direction. There was a time some years back, and in the city of Lagos, we started hearing some strange noises. And people didn't know where this noise was coming from. It was sounding like bombs were going off. Nobody knew where it was coming from. But in the area of Ikeja, it was louder. And people were confused. Many people ran out of their houses. Running. But to many people is, they don't know why they are running. And they don't know where they're running to. But they are running. Hallelujah. Why are they running? They are running because in their minds, they are hoping by chance that on the way they will meet safety. Hello. But as at that time they were running, they had no idea of where the safe place was. So they were running without direction. Their movement was aimless. Their movement was purposeless. because they really do not know where they are going. And to a lot of people, they just followed other people that were running. And what happened? Everybody ran into a swamp. Because the swamp was all covered with some form of vegetation. So they thought it was a hard ground, not knowing that it was like quicksand. So as they were running, they were just going down. And many people lost their lives. Movement without direction is catastrophic to a man's destiny. Tell your neighbor, keep on moving forward. Hallelujah. So God told them, it's time for you to move from this place. And remember, it was by God's direction that they were to move. He said, move from this place because you have been on this point long enough. Hallelujah. It's time for you to move to another level financially. You will like that one. It's time for you to move forward spiritually. Amen. To move forward in the things of God. You never could say and testify, actually, God spoke to me. Somebody was sharing a testimony this morning and said, I heard the voice of God telling me, go and check your car. Hello? Some of you are here, you've never had God talk to you like that before. You can't even say this is God talking to you. Some of you believe God for some things to happen in your life. And God has promised us that he's going to do great things. And you are believing God to do it. But if God is going to tell you, move from A to B, you will need to know his voice. Hallelujah. So it's time for you to move spiritually to the level where you can identify, this is God speaking to me. Hallelujah. You cannot come into the kingdom and remain the same and remain on the same level. So God is telling someone here, it's time for you to move. Hallelujah. You've been reasoning and taking decisions based on your emotions, based on how you feel, based on your intellect. God is saying, it's time for you. You have dwelt in that mountain long enough. Now it's time to move out. Some of you are saying, you're asking God, Lord, what really is your plan for my life? What are the gifts that I have? What's my calling? Amen. God is saying, you have dwelt on this land long enough. It's time for you to move into your divine calling. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. And to some people, it's physical movement. And physical movement is not limited to your hand moving or your leg moving. It may have to do with location. Hallelujah. Geographical location. Moving you to a better place. Hallelujah. Moving you into greater things. But one thing I know, if you want to progress in life, movement is inevitable. In other words, you cannot hold on to certain things. You cannot hold on to certain habits. Because movement will require and demand from you that some things you have to drop them. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. If you are afraid to move, you will not make progress. Write it down. If you are afraid to move, you will not make progress. If you are going to experience progress to greater things in life, you must embrace movement. Staying in one place is not God's plan. Staying in one place can be self-defeating and self-sabotaging. How many of you here would say, well, I'm believing God for a prophecy to come to pass in my life? How many people? Let me see your hands. You believe God. How many of you believe God really for great things in your life? Praise God forevermore. You believe God for great things to happen in your life? Then if where you are does not look like that great thing, you can't stop moving. You must keep moving forward. Hallelujah. You know, we started this year. Everybody, in fact, that's one benefit of a new year, because the fact that you know a new year is coming, new year has a way of renewing your hope. You tell yourself, well, it didn't work too good for me last year. This is another opportunity. I'll make the best of it. So we all start the new year with great expectations, believing God for the best. But when it's coming to the end of that year and we don't really see what we probably prayed for, requested God from God, and all that. Like I've said it before, I said that's when the enemy comes to start telling you all sorts of stories. And all of this is to discourage us not to continue on the journey. To stay in one place and be feeling sorry for ourselves. Beloved, if what you have handled does not look like what you believe God from at your starting point, then your conclusion should not be to stop, but to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Help me tell your neighbor one more time. Keep on moving forward. Amen. Keep on moving forward. In other words, don't settle for less than is God's best for you. Amen. Don't settle for less. Keep on moving forward. There are some things that I want us to note. In that John chapter 4 that we read, was an encounter that Jesus had. So that we know that even in the days when Jesus was here on the face of the earth, movement was important to him. And if you have not received anything from what I've said today, receive this one thing that I had already said. That direction is important. If your movement is going to deliver results to you, then there must be direction. Now, in chapter 4, of the book of John, we were told from verse 3 that Jesus and the disciples left Judea and departed again into Galilee. They kept moving. Hallelujah. They didn't stay in one place. In fact, God does not expect his people to just remain, because to remain in one place will actually truncate God's divine mandate for man. What's our divine mandate from God? To take dominion. There can be no dominion without movement. Praise the Lord. You can't sit in one. Dominion means you are going from one place to another, influencing. Glory be to Jesus. So that is God's mandate. Our mandate is dominion. There is no dominion without movement. You must move spiritually into greater things. You must move financially into greater things. Praise the Lord. Because there are some things you can resist by prayer. There are some things you can only resist by means. So means is crucial. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You don't go to market speaking in tongues. Hello? And they say, where is the money? And you are speaking in tongues to the woman, the seller. They will arrest you right there. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So it's better you speak your tongues before you even get out of your house to go to the market. And believe God that favor will jam you on the way. Amen. That you just meet somebody on the way. Say, ah, I've not seen you for a long time. Take. You know that can happen. You can set out to go to the market with no money and still come back with goods and still not steal. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. There was a testimony of a lady that went to a supermarket around her house. Finances were very low. Things were really very hard for her. But she believed God. She needed to provide for her family. She wrote down the list of the things that they need in the house. And she went to the supermarket, looked around, and saw that everything was available. She picked it, put it in the trolley, and came before the cashier. And the cashier added the price of everything together and told the woman, this is the amount. And the woman said, I don't have any money with me right now. That is strange. Why will you leave your house? You knew you didn't have money. And then you are coming. What did you expect to happen? And the woman said, a miracle. Glory be to Jesus. She said, what did you expect to happen here? A miracle. Please, let me ask your neighbor, what do you expect to happen? Let them answer you. Hello? And the cashier was shouting at her and doing all this thing. So there was another man on the queue and said, what's the problem? What's this? And the man said, okay, madam, what are the things that you really need? Okay, write those ones down, the ones that are important. And she said she had God and said, well, these are the ones that are really very important. Okay. The woman took the paper. They have a scale there. They said, put it on the scale. Paper. And the man said, if what you want, is heavier than this scale here, then we'll see what we can do. Then I'll give it to you. I said, what you have, what I have. What I have is all that I wrote in this paper. No money. List is all that I have. He said, okay, put your list on it and let us see whether it's way heavier than this scale. The woman put the thing on it and the scale went down. You are looking at me. Paper. She put paper on it and the thing just went bang, bang. What are you expecting? A miracle took place there. The man had no choice but to give her everything that she wrote in that list. And she left the place. That is the God that we serve. He will always honor your faith. He will always honor your confidence in Him. He said, to those who put their trust in me, they will never be put to shame. The woman was not put to shame. And her faith drew the people that are there to God. There are many people whose destinies are tied to your own. They are only waiting for you to exercise your faith. Because the channel for them to follow God is your faith in practical demonstration. So when you don't look faith, there are people that you are hindering from entering the kingdom. Hallelujah. I've told you many times, nobody can teach you God. God can only be revealed. And the way He's revealed is when His children act by faith. And then a miracle happens. And somebody who never knew God could do it will say, there definitely is a God in heaven. Your God shall be my God. Praise the Lord. Keep on moving forward. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. There it was necessary for Jesus Christ to make a detour on his journey into Samaria. Why? Because Samaria is tied to his destiny. There's a woman that he was about to meet there. One woman through whom a whole city will come to believe Jesus Christ. So it was important for Jesus to make that move. There are some movements that you need to make. You better make it because it is tied to your destiny. Hallelujah. When God is telling you, you have stayed on that mountain long enough, it's time for you to move. Don't stay. You've got to move. Because God doesn't just talk for talking's sake. He knows that there is something about your life that is tied to you moving in the direction to which God wants you to go. Hallelujah. There are some levels of blessings that I know that when God wants you, wants that blessing to break forth in your life, you will have to come up higher. You will have to make some movement. Praise the Lord. When you read a promise of God in the Bible, and then after you go to God based on His word and say, God, you promised this in your word, God will give you another word. Now, if you do not make the movement spiritually to be sensitive, then you will not pick that word. And then you stay stuck and say, I prayed, I believe God, I quoted God's word to Him, and then nothing happened. No. You refuse to move to the point where you can receive it. Hallelujah. So movement spiritually is important to a believer. Amen. If your prayer is 5 minutes, you need to move. Hallelujah. You need to move. If what constitutes your prayer lists and prayer points is all about you, it's time for you to move. Me, mine, and my family, you need to move out of there. Move out of selfish praying. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let's open our Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I want to, we may not read all this thing, but there's a story of two messengers. Whenever I read that story, I always pray a prayer. Lord, let me not spend my strength to no purpose. Are you there? 2 Samuel chapter 18, we start reading from verse 15. 2 Samuel. Are you there? 2 Samuel 18 from verse 15. Let me quickly run through it. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people, and they took Absalom. How many of you have heard of Absalom before today? Who is Absalom? David's son. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and they laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom Place. Now, verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. Now, at this time, Absalom, David's son, was against his father. He was fighting against his father. Okay? So, he is seen by David's loyalists as an enemy of the king. Now he has been killed. Verse 20. And Joab said unto him, that is Ahimaaz, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. 21. Then said Joab to Cushi, go, tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now, Cushi is being sent on an errand. Do we all agree on that? Joab is sending him to the king. Who is the king? David. Now, he is going on an errand. What is the message? He said, go and tell the king what has happened that you have seen. Please note that. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Now, why do you want to go to the king and run this errand when you have no message? When you don't have a word, it's somebody listening to what I'm saying today. There are two people. Cushi was sent. The message was very clear. And he was running. So he's moving. Then Ahimaaz also said, send me too. And John said, there is nothing that I'm going to. There is no point you having a movement that is aimless. But Ahimaaz said, send me anyway. Hallelujah. Message or no message, let me just keep moving. Hey, hello. Because a lot of Christians are like that. Let me just be doing something so that it will look as if something is happening in my life. Tell your neighbor, he caught you there. Hallelujah. Let me just look blessed. Even if I'm not really blessed. Let me just live on borrowing. Living a life of borrowing. Borrow. At least when people see me, they will think I own it. Hello? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. Now, this is important. Hallelujah. Somebody that has no word is running faster than the person that has a word. That is why it does not matter how long it takes God to manifest his blessing in your life. As long as you know you are moving forward in the direction that God has already laid down for you, you will smile at the end of the day. It does not matter who passes by you, who runs faster. Hallelujah. Hello. You have a word from the Lord, the word will deliver the blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So running without the word is living a nameless life. Can we go on? Now, David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. Because the king cannot expect somebody to be running. Movement without direction. So he said, if he's coming, he must have news to give to us. Hallelujah. If you are talking the talk, you walk the walk. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, remember that he overtook Cushi. So he got to the king first and said unto the king, all is well. That sounds like some of us. Ah, it is well. It is well. Everything, it is well. What is well? What did God tell you? That you are standing on it is well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he told the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon the face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. What was that? 29. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? That is the news the king is expecting. Praise the Lord. Is he safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant, and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. It's like people, you see everybody running, you just run. When the kilo shell, no more. I just saw people running. Movement without direction. Hello? I just saw people running. And the king said unto him, my friend, I beg, turn aside and stand there. Stand, remain stagnant there because you have no message. Stand there. Just stand aside. And he turned aside and stood still. May your destiny not stand still. In the name of Jesus Christ. And behold, Cushi came. That's the person that really has a word. It took him a while, but he got a word. Hallelujah. Some of us, when we are praying, stay, listen, hear what God will say. You quickly jump up. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering all my prayer. And then you leave. God still wants to give you an instruction. What you prayed for, he wants to say something to you about it. But you don't want to wait. So when you go into the world, go into the life, you don't know the direction in which how God is going to bring it to pass. You begin to go left. But God, in the time of quietness, God is telling you, when you step out, you turn right. But you couldn't wait enough to hear God. I've got to go. I've got to move. I'm late from where I'm going. I've spent enough time praying. Hallelujah. And then you don't want to hear what God has to say. So when you get there and then you have nothing to back it up, when the enemy shows up to threaten you and say, why are you moving forward? You have nothing to say. Then you begin to hear, stand aside and stand still. May that not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. We are not standing still. We are moving forward. I said we are moving forward. I said we are moving forward. In the mighty name of Jesus. So Cushi got there, said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord had avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? He asked the same question. And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chambers, blah, 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 and he was crying because he knew his son was gone. Why did I take time on this particular story? Because you either fall into Cushi descendants or you are in the Ahimaaz descendants. Movement must be with direction. Movement should not be aimless. It should be with purpose. May you not spend your strength to no purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's why it's important for you to know, Lord, what are your plans for me? So that I can align myself to your plans. You know, I've said it before. I said it at the beginning of this year. Don't just set some goals for yourself. Make some plans and write down some things you just want to happen to you in life. It is first important that there are things that God has revealed to you. Then you make a plan. But what a lot of us do is we come up with what we want and then we are now asking God, make it your plan for me. And then when it doesn't happen, the devil comes to discourage us. Progress. How do I make this progress? Number one, progress demands that you note your starting point. And that's what I'm talking about. You need to know your starting point. One thing about the children of Israel, if you read, I don't have time to go through it, but you can read it after. Numbers 33, from verse 1 to almost the end, but from 1 to 9, you will see the Bible talking about the movement of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, 430 years of bondage. The Bible will tell us they left this place at this particular time. In fact, in that scripture, the Bible says Moses took note of where they were. That we have reached this place. Why is it important for him to note down that this is where we are now? This is where we have moved to. Why? Can I really throw it open to anyone? Yes. Why do you think so? To measure progress. God bless you, sir. To measure progress. Some of us, because you have not seen something that is so flamboyant and, you know, you may think that, what have I really accomplished this year? What can I really say I've accomplished in this 2018? Be honest with yourself. Whichever way it is, you have moved. Hallelujah. And some of you have moved. Even spiritually, you have moved. You are not where you started. You are not at that starting point in the beginning of this year. Praise the Lord. Now, you may not have reached your target, but you have left your starting point. How many of you will agree with me on what I've said for this year? Hallelujah. You know. Because if you do not do that and measure progress, it will be difficult to appreciate the efforts that God has made in your life this year. So it's important. Praise the Lord. Number two. It helps us to appreciate how far God has helped us in the race of life. How can we then keep moving forward to great things that God has for us? Number one. Is what we have said also. Note down the starting point. Number two, don't be intimidated by enemy forces. How do I keep on moving forward? You cannot afford to be intimidated by enemy forces. Psalm 23, verses 4 to 5, and Psalm 27. Verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table for me in the presence of my adversary. Hallelujah. In other words, I refuse to give in to the intimidation of the enemy. You know, there are many ways that the enemy can intimidate you from moving forward in life. Yeah. He can send people to you to let you know that you don't have what it takes to move forward to great things in life. He will position, he did it. He did it for Ezra in the Bible. He did it also for Nehemiah. When they were trying to rebuild the temple that was in ruins in Jerusalem, he brought people, Tobias and Sambalat, to tell them, you don't have what it takes. Your knees are too feeble. You cannot do it. It's not possible for you to move on to greater things in life. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. So don't be intimidated. David said, even though the enemies encamp around me, I will still be confident and I'm moving forward. Praise the Lord. Number three. Do not entertain other people's stories of personal failures. That's another thing the devil does. When that person tried it, it didn't work for them. Hello? He will bring all sorts of stories to you to disillusion you from moving forward to greater things in life. Nothing has happened at this. There is this Covenant Partners Fellowship that I attend, held by on a monthly basis by Bishop Peace Okonkwo. And a lady was sharing a testimony there. She came from Ghana. She's a Ghanaian lady. And she was sharing her testimony. She said, I've been an evangelist for 20 years or more. And she said in her own family, in her own village, they've ostracized her. Why? Because she loves God. All she does is going around to remote areas of Ghana and, you know, preaching the gospel everywhere. Sometimes you will not have money. Little money. She said, some days I may go without food. Not because I wanted to fast, but I haven't got money to buy food to eat. So I automatically go on a fast. Praise God. He said, my whole family thought I was mad, I was crazy. And then I was getting older, I was not married. He said, in fact, no man, he said, no man came to me, no man. You know, it's a different thing. Maybe somebody came, he doesn't look like the right person, is this or he's not serious. No, he said, not one man has ever approached her. So even say, how are you, Sisi? Are you single or are you available? Nothing. It's never happened. And years were rolling by. 40, 50, 55. He said, at that point, her father had said she used to stay in front of one church to meet people, counsel them, and, you know, do all that. She was just trying to manage her life. But she said she made sure, regardless of what anybody says, and regardless of what is missing in my life, I am going to continue to do what he called me to do. If nobody loves me, Jesus loves me. And I'm okay. Praise the Lord. It wasn't easy. But she refused all the stories that people have been saying. Is this how you are going to end up? Is this what he said? There was nothing her family didn't tell her. They had absolutely no word of hope, no word of encouragement. Sometimes when you are walking with God, you better learn how to encourage yourself. Learn how to encourage yourself. Because you will face some situations where you will not find one encourager. And it does not mean that it is not the will of God for you. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself. But one day, this same woman, working for the Lord, came to a conference. And when the conference finished that day, she said, I stepped out of the conference. He said, one man, first of all, came to her. He said, can I offer you a lift? Where she's going? He said, the man offered her a lift and was, you know, talking to her about. He said, but God told me he's not the one. Now, I want you to listen, because this is where people become ahimas. When you have waited so long, Nobody has ever spoken to you. Then one man called to say, it may not be. Is somebody getting? Is it the will of God? He said, it wasn't the will of God. In fact, while she was sharing the testimony, they started clapping. When she said, so the woman said, wait. And then she said, I know that it's not the will of God. He's like, he said, but after that, they kept coming. They didn't stop coming. He said, I knew that the first one, God was telling me, the door is open. Hallelujah. Until the right one came. She came to that place with her wedding rings to be. She's about to turn 56. Praise the Lord. She still found a husband. Somebody that wants to marry her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are moving to great things. You see, when God brought that scripture to us in Joel chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, be not afraid. Be glad and rejoice because I will do great things. Is that not a great thing? God will do great things in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. He will surprise you with pleasant surprises. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wow. So do not entertain other people's personal stories of failures. Number 4. Now, other people's successes also can be used by the devil to discourage you. You know, sometimes you say, well, failure, it can discourage you. But even success. To thine own self be true. There are certain things that certain people that you have seen fly high, and seeing them fly high made you sad. Not because you don't wish them to fly high, but you wish you are them. Own up now. Hallelujah. So somebody else's success can be discouraging to you. Yeah. I've seen people sharing testimony that, this is what the Lord has done in their lives. And other people are in tears. Not in tears of joy, but because they are discouraged. That, how could it happen? If only could have been me standing there sharing that testimony. Hello. But what did Paul tell us to do in such a situation? He said, they that compare themselves unto themselves are ignorant. They are not wise. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, it is very unwise for you. It is ignorant using others as standard of measurement. Our thumbprints are not the same. Even if you are twins or triplets, your thumbprints are still not the same. God has planned for everybody. Hallelujah. And he knows the road that he wants to take each and every one of us through in life because of what he wants to accomplish in our lives. So to compare myself with somebody else, it means I'm ignorant. I'm really ignorant of what God does and how God operates. I'm ignorant that God has a plan for my life. Amen. So I can't compare. I can't say, look at Dupe. Everything is going on in her life, in her family. Oh, see how her own husband loves her. Hello? See the children. See how all of them first class. Hallelujah. And then your children are struggling. And then you are serving God. Hello? So there's success. If you are not careful, the devil we use it to discourage you. But it's important that you know God. That you know that God loves you and that He has a plan, a glorious plan for your life. So it's important that you rejoice. That's why the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Because rejoicing is a platform to move to greater things in your life. Not discouragement. Anytime you are discouraged, anytime you are grumbling and complaining, you will remain there until you change your attitude. Hello? Hallelujah. So what else do I do? Number four, stay focused. Keep your eye on God's promises. When God says great things are about to happen in your life, focus on it. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Isaiah 50, let me quickly read that. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. That is, I will not be ashamed, because God is going to help me. God will help someone here today. Amen. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. So focus on what God has promised you. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Who, because of the joy that is set before him, endured the shame. He despised it and said, what is this? Because there is a joy that is set before him. What is that joy? It's God's promise. What God has promised you. The great things that God has in store for you. He said, keep your focus on those things. And the last one. Be glad and keep rejoicing. As you keep your focus on what God has promised you. The word of God that He has given you. The prophetic agenda of God for your life. If you focus on that, then you will not think about what you do not have right now. Hallelujah. So I say to you today, be not afraid. Be glad and rejoice. For God will do great things. Rise on your feet.